Welcome to the Cullen Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies' profile. Now, the Cullen Economics Report.
Welcome in. You're listening to the weekend edition of the Cornell Economics Report. Corey and I have a great show planned out for you. As usual, in the first hour, we're going to talk about economic issues, investment issues, financial issues. They all mean the same thing. Second hour, we're going to go back into politics with some of the cast of characters of our regulars. I'm going to start out, though, in the first two segments, chatting with a gentleman who is very, very well known in the investment community, Bill Fleckenstein. Bill is headquartered in my hometown, Seattle, Washington. As a matter of fact, I know the area very well that Bill actually lives in. He's a guy who gets very, very substantial media coverage, and we're very fortunate to have him on the show. Bill, thanks so much for taking some time to joining us. We appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
Million-dollar question. You know, we talk an awful lot about the concept of, is there such a thing as manipulation in the stock markets? We have some people on our blog who are and also within our cadre, for lack of better terms, of guests who feel that the government is in there manipulating the markets, and the reason they're doing that is simply because they don't want the general population to, as the Righteous Brothers said, quote unquote, lose that love and feeling about how things are going. I'm not sure that the government would be a player in that. What do you think about the whole concept, Bill?
I think that the concept that the government is manipulating the stock market is faulty thinking. I mean, so is this the Obama administration? Well, did it go on the Bush administration or the Bush administration before that or the Clinton administration or the other Bush administration? In other words, these rumors have been around for 20 years, ever since the 1987 stock market crash. And if the government was doing it, don't we think somebody would have ratted out the prior administration somewhere along the way by now? I believe, you know, large organizations muscle markets around as best they can. I mean, we know LIBOR's been rigged. They're looking at oil price manipulation and the manipulation of FX markets. And I think there are a lot of guys that move prices around. It's part of what happens in markets, and I think the computers do it to some degree as well. But just because the market doesn't do what you think it ought to do doesn't mean the government's in there changing the price of things.
Bill, you know, I have to agree to the fact that I also don't believe that the government is in there actively manipulating these markets. However, there is no denying that these big banks and institutions have been in there and most likely still are in a lot of the markets manipulating them just by the billions of dollars in fines that they've had to pay over the years. But my question is, do you think the government is almost facilitating this manipulation by, in a way, not putting regulations on, or do you think that would even make a difference?
Look, in the stock market, it's pretty well regulated. Markets that get subject to more manipulation are ones where there aren't a lot of regulations, where it's like an international market like oil or like LIBOR or like gold, for instance, where things get pushed around, or coffee or commodity markets where they trade around the clock and around the globe. Those markets are much easier and I think much more often pushed around. You know, it's not as easy to push around some of these, a big thing market like the U.S. stock market, on a lot of days. Maybe on some days you can do it, but you know, I just don't think it goes on. The problem we have in this country is the Federal Reserve suppressing interest rates and causing misallocation of capital in these wild markets. That's the problem. It's not that somebody's, you know, manipulating the price of stocks to the wrong price, in my opinion.
I got to tell you, Bill, I think you're 100% right. You know, I think a lot of the blame of what's going on right now, the fact that we perhaps one could argue that the markets aren't exactly as free as they should be, and consequently they're not as effective as they should be, I think that the Federal Reserve obviously does have a lot to do with that. You know, let's get down to some kind of contemporary issues, though. I mean, a lot of people trust you, and rightly so. And, you know, they trust you with making decisions for them. And I guess the question question investment decisions. And I guess the question that I would have initially is, what's your take over the next, let's say, 6 months or thereabouts on the conventional market? Do you have any strong thoughts on that?
I think the bond market is in the process of the Fed is in the process of losing control of the bond market. And by that, I mean the bond market is not taking its cue about where it should trade based on the funds rate. And I think that's why the 10-year has risen from, you know, 160 last spring to 3%, and now it's 260. The move to 3%, some people were worried about tapering. I thought the rise in rates was more a function of the bond market starting to price in it, you know, a different outcome and not necessarily taking its cue from the Fed. When central banks historically have printed tons of money and behaved recklessly, either the currency has tanked or the bond market has tanked, or both. It's very difficult for the dollar to tank when you've got the yen and the pound and to some degree the euro, all where the monetary policy has been being conducted in the same kind of reckless fashion. I mean, some more reckless than others. The ECB is actually more prudent than the other ones I just mentioned. It's hard for the dollar to decline against that other bits of recklessness. So it's up to the bond market. So I think the bond market is the thing to watch. And I think if rates, you know, rise to 3%, and it will be proof positive that the bond market is, the control of the bond market has been lost by the Fed, and it will have serious ramifications down the road. You know, until something stops the Fed, this insanity in the stock market can go on as long as it wants to. And I don't care how crazy Twitter is and the next 10 Twitter wannabes, you know, it can keep going on. I mean, the thing that I've learned in markets that have been soaked with money, and which we've seen, saw in Japan in the late 80s, here in the late 90s, here in the mid-aughts, and now, is that once things start to get crazy, they get crazier before they get sane.
When you talk about the markets getting crazy right now, I find that to be very, very interesting. I agree 100%. We don't know each other well enough that I'm sure that we feel that way for exactly the same reasons. When you say the markets are crazy right now, I just kind of have to jump to the conclusion that you feel that the markets, as measured by the S&P 500, the Dow, etc., are absolutely crazily overvalued. Am I correct?
Well, yeah. I mean, I don't think I don't know that the market is crazily overvalued. It's quite likely drastically. See, because if you look at it, you say, well, you know, the averages, whether they're 18 times earnings or 17 times earnings or something like that, that doesn't sound like a crazy number. Until you say to yourself, historically, the bond market has yielded 2 to 3% over the inflation rate. Now, let's say the inflation rate's 3 in America. I think it's probably closer to 5, but let's say it's 3. So if it's 3% inflation, I mean, because the CPI is a ridiculous index, it doesn't measure the cost of living. Then you add 2 or 3% to 3, now you're at, you know, 5 or 6. Let's say 5. Well, if long rates were at 5, which is probably where they would be if the Fed wasn't manipulating them, then where would the stock market be? The S&P be 40% lower? I don't know, some number like that. Of course, the economy would be much worse, and maybe the bond market might do, you know, along the way, rates would have been lower. But my only point is, if you say that stock prices are absurd, in the main, they're not. If you just look at the raw numbers, you have to take a step back and say, well, why is this ridiculous? And it's ridiculous because of what's going on in the bond market. That's where the real, real radical mispricing is. And yes, the stocks might be overvalued by 50% because bond rates ought to be twice as high as they are.
I've got some interesting questions about that. Unfortunately, we're going to take a real quick break here so the stations can identify themselves. But I would kind of like to, in the next segment, get into the concept of the bond market and what's going on there that doesn't make a whole lot of sense, at least from the economics courses and finance courses that I took a lot of years ago at the University of Washington. I also want to get your opinion on what's going on in the derivative sector. Ladies and gentlemen, Corey and I are going to be right back.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.
On air, online, and on demand. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Gold is like nothing else on Earth. From the Romans through the Renaissance, from the Industrial Age to the Space Age, gold has weathered the test of time. For 6,000 years, gold has remained the ultimate store of wealth. According to the World Gold Council and the U.S. Mint, demand is at an all-time high. The stage is being set for the reemergence of gold as the common-sense alternative to a fiat paper currency that gets weaker every day. Midas Resources is proud to offer the hard-hitting report that arms you with the truth you need to protect you and your family from the Fed's plans for your hard-earned money. Don't gamble with your future. Call Midas Resources today and ask for your free copy of As Good as Gold. Call 1-800-686-2237 for the report the Fed hopes you'll never see. As Good as Gold can be yours by calling 800-686-2237. If you have ever thought about owning gold, you must read this report. Call Midas today at 800-686-2237.
Curious about what comes next? Next is the feeling of vulnerability you get after you arrive home to discover your house has been ransacked by burglars. Fool the bad guys with a new improved fake TV. You asked for it, we listened, and we made our new fake TV 3 times brighter than our previous model. The brightness of our new fake TV is equivalent to a 40-inch TV. It simulates the color and motion of a real TV while you're away from home. And when burglars think someone is home watching television, they're likely to pass your house and move on to an easier target. The new, brighter Fake TV is only $39.95 and includes free shipping. Go to FakeTV.com or call 1-877-5-FAKE-TV. That's 877-532-5388 or go to FakeTV.com. Fake TV, the burglar deterrent.
An e-cig revolution is sweeping across the country. But is yours American-made? Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is. Manufactured in Arkansas with 100% USA-sourced ingredients. And when you buy American, you support local jobs. Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig is top quality at an affordable price. The very principle that once drove the American economy. Get great taste with no ash, tar, or smoke. You'll be wondering why you didn't make the change to Vapriot e-liquid by LaCig a long time ago. LaCig.com has everything you need, for beginners to the advanced vaping enthusiast, with a wide variety of hardware and also imported e-liquid flavors as well. Plus, LaCig smokes the competition with fast, free, same-day shipping, real people customer service, and a 30-day satisfaction guarantee. Support our country and become a Vapriot at LaCig.com or call 870-525-1440, 870-525-1440. LaCig e-cigarettes for today's modern smoker.
Can Heart and Body Extract help with other ailments besides heart conditions, high blood pressure, clogged arteries, or unbalanced cholesterol? It did for Karen.
I've been using Heart and Body Extract for approximately 2 weeks. I've had an earwax buildup problem for many years, with over-the-counter stuff not working at all. I have very poor hearing due to this earwax buildup. Well, after 2 weeks of taking Heart and Body Extract, my earwax buildup almost completely cleared up. Could this be the effect of better body circulation?
Heart and Body Extract is an effective 100% organic nutritional supplement specially formulated to allow your body to heal itself.
My hearing is almost completely back to normal. I'm amazed.
Order by calling 866-295-5305 or online at hbextract.com. That's 866-295-5305 or hbextract.com. Heart and Body Extract for long and healthy life.
Your weekly fix on finance and investing. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. Al and myself are continuing our talk with Bill Fleckenstein. Bill, last segment we talked about potential manipulations in the market, as well as how the Fed is really allowing this to happen. However, now I want to switch it more into an investment standpoint and how we can make money in these weird economic times. So, Bill, what are you doing personally with your fund in the market?
I believe the antidote to what the central banks are doing is to own things that, you know, can't be printed. So I'm partial to the precious metals complex, although that's not been a very profitable place to be for the last year and a half. But I think gold and mining issues combined with cash is the right thing to hold. You have to have some cash because you need liquidity, but you know the metals should protect you from the debasement of that cash. I think the stock market is far too dangerous to be involved in the most part, because you know it's just a momentum oriented speculative entity right now. That doesn't mean that it'll end tomorrow, but usually when things get like this, people get sucked in, they tend to wind up losing money before they can get out. It's too dangerous to short right now. I mean, I think there'd be great opportunities on the short side next year, but you can't short right now. So I think people need to be prudent and, you know, realize that the problems of the world are mostly centered around the fact that we have, you know, irresponsible PhDs running monetary policy, and that's where our problems emanate from. And you have to protect yourself from that.
I think it's really interesting, Bill. I didn't realize that philosophically you were as much in agreement with Corey and I as you actually are. I find that to be absolutely fascinating. You made a comment about mining stocks, for lack of better terms. Can you elaborate a little bit on that for us?
The valuations of mining stocks have all been compressed. I think the view is that the precious metals can only trade lower, and the mining stocks are starting to be valued as though the price of gold is going to collapse. I don't think that's going to be the case, but these have been terrible investments for any time frame you want to look at in the last several years. It's a very unpopular group. I think the valuations are cheap. You know, that doesn't mean they're going to turn around tomorrow, right? I mean, there's plenty of mines that are located in proper jurisdictions run by, you know, good management, and I think there's opportunities there. These stocks aren't going to go up until the precious metals go up. And, I think you'll make more money in the miners than you will in the precious metals. But, on the other hand, you know, you might be tortured for a while longer as well.
So I think a key point there is that this whole industry, whether it's the stocks or the actual physical, is very unloved right now, I guess is a good term. People just don't.
No, hated is a better term.
There you go, hated, yes.
No, I mean, this is as much, you know, out-and-out hatred and fear and loathing as I've ever seen in any group. I remember in 86 when oil got down to $8, you know, the energy stocks and the drillers were pretty hated, but I've never seen anything quite like this.
The thing that gets me is that it is a good time to look at these, well, hated industries just from the contrarian standpoint, because you do get fantastic deals out there. However, you do need to have a much longer term outlook, because we don't know when this is going to turn around. But what's some of your advice on how to enter these falling markets? Because as we said, it probably won't go up tomorrow, but in the long term.
Well, you have to make sure your positions are sized right. You have to recognize that you're buying something that's unpopular and you don't know when that's going to change, and you think you've got a margin of safety because of where the valuations are, but you have to be careful about, you know, how fast you fill up your position, right? And once you get a decent-sized position in a particular name, just because it goes lower doesn't mean you're supposed to buy more. You have to sometimes wait until things starting to work a little bit before you really increase your positions dramatically. There's a fine line between buying low and adding to the position indiscriminately as it goes against you. You know, sometimes it helps to, okay, I bought this pretty cheaply, and I'd rather see it start to trade a little better, right? These miners are so depressed that even if they were 20% higher, they'd still be dirt cheap. I'm a fan of buying things cheaply, but I'm not a fan of continuing to blindly average down. It's all about managing your risk.
Well, I think it's 100% all about managing your risk. You know, I've been involved in this industry for 35 years, maybe a couple of years more, and we have always been, my wife and I have always been, I would say, serious investors in the mining sector. I agree with everything you're saying 100%. I would have to say that right now, I started my company back in 1982. Prior to that, I was working for a consultant in this industry, and I have to tell you, since roughly 1978, I've never seen it this bad in terms of the resource sector. The real experts who we know, people like Doug Casey, Rick Rule, others, are with you 100% in what you're saying. They also, however, feel that this too shall pass. The issue is nobody knows when this too is going to pass. And any comments on that, Bill?
No, I mean, trying to figure out when crowd psychology is going to change once it's gotten in an extreme way is next to impossible. You can't predict what it will be or when it will be. All you can do is try to be alert to the fact that something has changed and then, you know, try to react to that, right? So you want to get positions established when things are cheap, but you don't want to go too crazy, and then you want to start to wait for some sense that maybe something's changed.
Yeah, I think being alert and then reacting is the crucial part here. And Bill, to be alert, obviously looking at the bullion prices is important and the technicals that go along with that, but also looking at the majors, is that what you are focused on, or are there other factors as well?
The miners can't do much if the gold price doesn't go up. I mean, they could change evaluations, you know, if the gold price just, you know, would chop sideways for some time. But I think there is no shortage of news in the world that's been bullish for gold. No amount of monetary abuse in the last couple of years, however, has helped the price of gold go up. So I think one thing to look for is the price of gold starts to respond more positively to news that is constructive for it. The gold has declined for the last 2 years in the face of what is arguably news that ought to be bullish for it. Central banks just go from one reckless extreme to another, but it doesn't make any difference. On Thursday, the ECB cut rates, and gold declined 0.75%. So because it doesn't respond to the upside, then it gets sold. So we're in a phase where no news is constructive. And I think once gold price starts to respond in a way that you can understand relative to the news, then that would be a good signal that, okay, maybe I should be getting more aggressive in my positioning.
I have to agree 100%. You know, we've got to take a little break here again to let our stations identify themselves. I agree with what you're saying. It's from a fundamental standpoint, this old dog anyway really believes that this market is going to turn vis-a-vis gold. I agree with you 100% also about your thoughts about the correlation between the mining companies and the price of gold. We don't have a lot of interest right now. We've got a decrease in the price of an ounce of gold of late over the last few years from around 1900 down to what it is as we're recording right now, which is about 1300. That's almost a 33% drop. It's a big number. I think it's going to come back, however, for only one reason, and that reason is simply true fundamentals never lose out, and they never quit. Bill, thank you so much for your time. Corey and I are going to be right back.
To find out more about today's guests, visit us on the web at www.kereport.com. You're listening to the Corlin Economics Report. We'll be back in a moment.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
A healthy digestive system supports a healthy immune system. And a healthy immune system protects you against infections and disease. Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse, available at Terraganics.com, is the key to digestive health. Pro-EM1 is a powerful liquid probiotic and is gentle enough to use every day. Pro-EM1 contains three groups of beneficial microbes and enzymes to cleanse and remove toxins, supports weight loss, improves absorption of food nutrients, and aids in controlling yeast and other infections. Pro-EM1 is dairy, wheat, and soy free, is non-GMO, has all natural certified organic ingredients, has no preservatives, and is never freeze-dried. Pro-EM1 is the key to your digestive health. Order Pro-EM1 Daily Probiotic Cleanse at Terraganics.com, spelled TERRAGANIX.com. Terraganics.com. Or call toll-free 866-369-3678. That's 866-369-3678. Pro-EM1, the raw probiotic.
To thank you for being a loyal listener, we have a limited time freebie offer for you. Claim your free heirloom tomato seeds, just pay shipping, right now at 123freeseeds.com. These aren't ordinary seeds. These are heirloom, non-genetically modified super seeds that are open pollinated and can be grown, harvested, and replanted endlessly. These survival seeds are actually more valuable than gold in a crisis. Go to 123freeseeds.com and you can get an airtight storage packet of 150 super seeds free while supplies last to say thank you for being a loyal listener. First come, first served. Just cover shipping. Go to 123freeseeds.com now to see if your free heirloom seeds are still available. That's 123freeseeds.com.
Do you owe the IRS money that you can't pay? Are tax liens and levies ruining your life? Are you tired of being afraid just to go to the mailbox? If this describes you, then Dan Pilla can help.
Hi, I'm Dan Pilla, and I've been solving tax problems for more than 30 years. In fact, I wrote the book that made it possible to negotiate settlements with the IRS, and I've helped thousands of people do exactly that. Call now at 800-346-6829 to learn how I can help you. You know your IRS debt will not go away by itself, but you don't have to live in fear anymore. New changes to IRS policies will help more people than ever before eliminate their debts once and for all. There's no need for you to suffer another day with IRS debt. Call 800-346-6829. I can help you eliminate wage and bank levies, release tax liens, and negotiate a settlement with the IRS that will put your tax nightmare behind you forever. Call 800-34-NO-TAX or go to my website, taxhelponline.com. That's taxhelponline.com.
Not all protein powders are created equal. One World Whey is the first cold temperature processed, 100% all natural, unrefined, bioactive, grass pasture raised milk whey protein. Far from being another ordinary protein supplement, One World Whey is a full spectrum nutrition power food in and of itself, providing overall life building benefits that touch virtually every human's life that other protein supplements don't deliver on. What are the benefits? Boosts the immune system, anti-aging properties, helps detoxification, helps lose body fat, supports excellent blood sugar levels, excellent for building muscle, increases in energy levels, enhances the feelings of youth, energy for exercise and recovery. Who's it for? Anyone wanting to feel healthy and have energy. Busy people, office workers, growing children, students, teachers, seniors, people recovering from illness, and high-performance athletes. Call 888-988-3325. Or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworldway.com.
Providing unique reporting on markets and companies since 1990. This is the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome back. You know, you got to admit, Bill Fleckenstein is a very interesting individual. We've had him on the show a couple of times. I find him to be very, very interesting. I think that his investment strategy makes a lot of sense. I like the fact that he is as bullish as he is on precious metals, and trust me, we're going to get Bill back much more frequently. Okay, somebody else who we need to start getting back a lot more frequently is Chris Temple. Chris is a guy who, as you know, I have known for probably a dozen years. Corey's known him for a couple of years now. He writes a great newsletter. We're going to get an overview from him as to what's going on in the conventional stock market right now in the United States and his opinion on what people can be looking forward to, let's say, in the midterm. Chris, you're on, bud.
Well, how you doing, fellas? It's good to be back, as always. As far as the conventional markets, the story hasn't changed all that much in the recent past. Things are still hostage to and or driven by the Fed, depending on each day that comes by, whether the people are leaning toward the Fed might finally taper or they might not cut back on their bond buying. Because everybody that anybody knows that to at least some extent the stock market's big year that it's had in 2013 has pretty much been based on the Fed and its quantitative easing. And for the most part, as long as that's going to continue, by and large, even though we're overdue for a more meaningful correction, the stock market's going to continue going higher, generally speaking. I've seen a few interesting things of late, though, including in this last week, where you've seen some of the previous high flyers get hammered. You know, stocks like Tesla, some of the others, LinkedIn, some of these other ones. And yet the overall market doesn't really fall out of bed. You have it down one day, but that comes right back the next. And one of the themes that I'm talking about right now, Alan, Corey, is that by and large, I think we're going to see an evolution in what sectors of the market do well, very similar to what we saw, maybe not as dramatic, but similar to what we saw in 2000 and around that time frame. A lot of people have forgotten that at the same time that the NASDAQ went from 5,000 to eventually down to 1,200, a lot of sectors, home builders, resources, energy, gold, were going up
Yeah, Chris, you know, I think there's absolutely no doubt that the conventional markets have been driven by this continued QE and by the Fed. And as you said, you know, they still could continue to go up. But this sector shift that you're talking about, when it does happen, and we're not saying that it will happen anytime soon, what are you betting on where this shift will come and where this money, because there has been a lot of it made and created, where it will flow to?
Well, here's what I think is going to happen, Corey. And you know, one analogy is to that time frame in 1999 and 2000. A similar analogy would be to the late 1970s. And I think the two of these kind of have been talking about this in my newsletter for the last couple of months. Back in the 70s, you had what was called stagflation. And I know you've got John Williams coming on later. He's got some great work out there that, you know, this 1% or whatever inflation rate that the government publishes is nonsense for the average household. The average household has stagnant rising living costs and finds it tough to make ends meet. The overall economy, if you take out the financial sector, isn't doing all that hot either, but living costs go up. And so what does that mean in the grand scheme of things? Well, what it meant in the 70s was, investors, especially professional money managers, looked at the stock market and said, okay, their stocks aren't exactly cheap. They may not crash, but they're not exactly cheap. There's costs on margins. Earnings growth is slowing down to almost nothing. Where the bond market's concerned, for different reasons maybe today than back then, people nevertheless look at the bond market and say, you know what, with yields already so low historically and the Fed still printing money like there's no tomorrow, there can't be a whole lot of upside left there either. So by process of elimination, investors went to those areas where what is going to benefit from the world's central banks cheapening their fiat currencies, where is their pricing power, what kind of stuff do people need? And I believe that where commodities are concerned, there's a theme that I've talked about recently that I'm not big on the industrial metals per se. I like gold and silver. I like energy. But I'm looking more at agriculture, food, water, things of that nature, commodities that are not reusable and recyclable all the time. And I think that especially with the world population continuing to grow, people need to eat. They need land to grow their food on and to live on. I think that a lot of the money is going to go there because just as was the case in the past when we had stagflation worries, just was in the case when you had tech stocks going bananas in 1999 and in the early 2000, and yet stocks of companies that produced commodities, you couldn't give them away. We've got that same thing now. And I don't know how much longer it's going to take. We see glimmers of it from time to time right now. But one of these days, a light bulb is going to go off over these money managers' head and say, you know what? This is like playing musical chairs, staying in Twitter or Facebook or Netflix or some of the other fad stocks right now where it's just momentum chasing momentum and there's no substance there. And when they look at it, miners and energy companies and food companies selling for dirt cheap multiples, they're going to start saying, hey, maybe we better shift a little bit here and get ahead of the crowd.
Well, here's an interesting question, and unfortunately, this is going to have to be the last one for this particular segment, but you're coming back for segments 7 and 8 that we're going to be talking politics with Jeff Deist. But, you know, the market yesterday was very, very interesting in the sense that the happy days are here again. The employment numbers came out, which I think are a crock, by the way, as Corey brought out on our site yesterday. But, you know, gold is getting absolutely hammered yesterday. It was getting absolutely hammered yesterday. Silver was getting absolutely hammered yesterday. Dow Jones Industrial Average was up over almost 100 points off and on, depending on when you're looking at it. NASDAQ was up a very meaningful amount. S&P was up a very meaningful amount. I just want your opinion on one thing, and that is I'm firmly convinced that investors are simply kidding themselves at with the optimism that they're feeling about the economy, as is evidenced by the performance of the stock market. What do you think?
Al, it's as simple as for the fact, and I've missed a lot of this myself because I've been skeptical, but for 10 months you've had a rip-roaring stock market, and that's all anybody cares to know or wants to know right now. The average money manager that does not show it on December 31st that he was gleefully enjoying this party is going to be fired. And so you've got momentum chasing momentum, performance chasing performance. These people, whether they believe in what they're doing or not, have no choice but to make sure that they're invested in stocks. That the individual investors still aren't, but the professional money is. You know, it's going to be interesting once we get into 2014 and things might change, but that's why stocks are doing well. And at the same time, it's why gold isn't, because gold hasn't been a good trade in 2013. And I mean, it's no conspiracy. It's no manipulation. It's the simple fact that the players who drove gold from under $700 an ounce in 2008, 2009 at its low to $1,900 an ounce, they're gone. They'll be back. But right now they're having too much fun in the stock market. And so all we're going to see, I think, for the most part, for the balance of the year, is this window dressing, portfolio managers. You don't want to be the cocktail party and say, I own gold and I don't own stocks.
Well, it's,
and that's why we continue to see this behavior.
Yeah, it depends on how you want to come across. You know, the average American right now, it certainly has that philosophy. You know, it's gold is stupid, silver is stupid. You know, they're relics of the past, etc. And you want to be into the crazy conventional market. I have to maintain that I think that the reason the conventional market is crazy is because it's not based on fundamentals. In my opinion, it's based
on
it's based totally on window dressing. Okay, ladies and gentlemen, we got to take a real quick break here. We're going to be back very, very shortly after the stations identify themselves with John Williams, the very well-known publisher of a newsletter called Shadow Stats. Rick Ackerman is also going to be with us. I got to tell you, Corey and I are looking forward to that. And then Chris Temple will be back with Corey and I and Jeff Deist in the second hour.
America's number one source for independent talk radio for over a decade. We are the GCN Radio Network.
Welcome back to Secrets to Saving. Jen, you're saving $300 a month. What's your secret?
Sam, I call the National Mortgage Connection. They connected me with a great lender who refinanced my home loan into a much lower rate. Plus, they didn't charge me any closing costs. No escrow fees, no origination fee, and no credit report fee.
Let's go to Jeff now.
I called National Mortgage Connection, too. I also refinanced into a lower rate, and now I'm saving around $3,000 a year. And they refinanced me even though I was underwater on my mortgage.
It's no secret that a lower interest rate means a lower payment, which means you save money. And saving is sexy. With a record low rates, you've got to call NMC now. They're a referral service that connects homeowners with a pre-screen lender offering no closing cost loans. And you can refi even if you're underwater. Call 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055. 866-507-2055.
Available only at hempusa.org. It's the first aid stick, and it's a must-have in any medical kit. With fast, chemical-free healing, the first aid stick stops bleeding, kills bacteria, is great for acne, insect bites, minor cuts and abrasions, will last for years, and is just $11.95. Everyone needs the first aid stick in their emergency kit. Call 888-910-4367. 888-910-4367. The first aid stick, only at hempusa.org. That's the sound of a .44 Magnum and Trauma Max. A high-tech hybrid Kevlar bulletproof vest from InfidelBodyArmor.com will stop it and most pistol rounds. Trauma Max is a major breakthrough in pistol-rated body armor, and prices start at just $170 per insert. More protection, more stopping power, more mobility, and it weighs less than 5 pounds. Get details at InfidelBodyArmor.com. That's InfidelBodyArmor.com.
We live in a complicated society. Stressful issues are always popping up. Have you ever been treated unfairly by someone? Have you ever been overcharged for a repair? Have you ever signed a contract or a document? Worried about identity theft? How many times have you been in those unique situations where you just wanted to call an attorney to find out if you're right or wrong, or what your legal rights are? But every time you think about calling an attorney, what do you think about first? That's right. Who do you call, and how much will it cost? Our friends at Legal Shield have found a solution. With a nationwide network of 6,900 attorneys who average over 19 years of experience, Legal Shield's law firms take over 40,000 calls per week helping their members. For less than $20 per month, you can have access to Legal Shield on everything from the trivial to the traumatic. Let Legal Shield stand up for your rights at lsprotection.com. That's lsprotection.com. Or call 855-340-SAVE. 855-340-7283.
Hi, my name is Scott Fuchs, teacher and rowing coach for over 14 years. I was sluggish, overweight, on prescription drugs, and only 30-something. Fortunately, I was referred to Dr. Z, and happy to say Dr. Z's all-natural protocols over a consistent course resolved my health issues. I'm in the best shape of my life, and most importantly, on zero medications.
I'm Dr. Zdanowski, author of Evology, trained as a primary care physician, surgical manipulation under anesthesia, expert in nutrition, diet, weight loss, immune system, and I specialize in chiropractic. My 15 years of professional experience has taught me the four keys to vibrant health: a balanced musculoskeletal system, an integrated nervous system, a flowing lymphatic system, and a body filled with over 90 essential nutrients. This has been a secret too long. Actualize your potential, reverse disease. Call me, Dr. Z. 201-945-1177, 201-945-1177, evolveyourself.com.
Okay, welcome back. You're listening to the continuing, I guess I should say, to listen to the weekend edition of the Corlin Economics Report. We've got a couple of real heavyweights visiting with Corey and I right now. John Williams. John is my hero, a lot of people's hero. He writes a great newsletter called Shadow Stats. Met John in, I guess it was San Francisco. No, I met him in New York the first time and then in San Francisco. And we've tried to keep in touch as closely as we can since then. John is widely quoted, I should say, highly quoted on this site, as is Rick Ackerman. Rick is visiting with us almost every day now, but you got two guys who have a lot of respect for each other. Let me direct this first question, John, at you. Yesterday, Friday, it would appear, by looking at all the news services, etc., that happy days are here again. Unemployment is looking really good. Am I correct, or am I just being sarcastic?
Well, that's what the news services are putting out, and that's what some people in Washington would love you to believe, even some on Wall Street. But that's not the case. The economy is not recovering, and the numbers that we saw in the October employment and unemployment reporting were absolute disaster in terms of how they were reported and what's happening there. But let me just give you a couple of quick points. The headline unemployment rose from 7.2% to 7.3%, as they reported it. And that also included in it the effects of government shutdown and the furloughs. Now, supposedly, the government employees who were furloughed were going to be counted as unemployed on temporary layoff. Well, they counted half of them. The other half were miscounted, put in the wrong category that was considered as employed. The Bureau of Labor Statistics admits they had a mistake there, but they don't correct these mistakes. So the number itself was absolutely worthless. Now, had you looked at the unemployment without any effect from the furloughs, it would have dropped from 7.2% to 7.1%. I'm going to come back to that because that was really bad news. Had they counted all the people that they had on furlough, it would have gone up to 7.4%. But I'm not going to spend much time on the furlough effect because all that will disappear with the November reporting. Things will return to some form of normalcy. The reason the number was bad and the reason it was, the furloughs actually masked some of the problems, but you found that the labor force dropped by over 700,000. And that's not good news, because if you take out the effects of the furloughs, you had a big drop in unemployment. That's usually good news. I mean, if you have a big drop in unemployment and people are getting new jobs, that's happy news. Indeed, happy times are here again. That's not what happened. Although the unemployment dropped, so did the employment. Your employment was down over 700,000.
and the labor force down over 700,000, the effect was that you got a lower unemployment rate, but it wasn't because people were getting jobs. What was happening is that you have people that are being laid off, people who were long-term unemployed and are now no longer being counted by the government as unemployed. If you're unemployed, I'll contend real simply. You went around the country, asked everyone whether or not he or she was employed or unemployed, you'd get an immediate response. Most people don't have to think about that. But if you took a number from that, you'd end up with a much higher rate of unemployment than the government reports. The reason is a matter of definition. The headline unemployment, the number that was out there today, the 7.3, as meaningless as that particular report was, in order to be in that category, you have to have been looking for work in the last 4 weeks. If after a while you find you're not finding a job, there are no jobs available, and you stop looking, then they count you as a discouraged worker. They take you out of the labor force. They'll count you in a broader measure that they call U6. But that's only good for a year. If you're discouraged after a year, they drop you off all the accounting. I do my best to track people after that and look at the long-term discouraged workers. The way the government used to do that before 1994. And if you do that, what you'll see is that instead of having the unemployment rate inch lower and lower and lower, which again is not because people are getting jobs, the broadest measure, which would be what I put out, is getting higher. In fact, we hit a series high with the Friday numbers for October up at 23.5%. That is frightening, and we're not seeing any improvement here whatsoever. The unemployment numbers were not good, although I think they were probably within the scope of consensus. As reported, it's absolutely worthless, meaningless, just garbage numbers today. And the Bureau of Labor Statistics admits it if you read the press release. On the payroll side, you had a big boom in month-to-month payrolls, but that's because they shifted seasonal factors around from earlier periods. And although they adjust the earlier periods in their numbers, they don't publish the data. The August number, for example, which now showed something like, I think it says 238,000 jobs gain, had been revised higher. If you look at it on a consistent basis, which we can do, it was down around 204,000, which is closer to the original reporting, 32,000 difference, all due to the way they changed the seasonal factors there. The numbers we saw today were bogus, and I can tell you I'm very suspicious because the timing of having a happy report like this politically, I couldn't be better when things are going so badly in Washington.
What really gets me about these reports, John, is, like you said, they're bogus. These numbers are made up, manipulated in a way to suit whatever I believe the administration wants, because, as you said, we have these adjustments. We have certain people being counted, other people not being counted. You know, when I've gone through my life, if you're unemployed, whether you're looking or not, you should be considered unemployed if you are capable of working. So it's just one thing that I can't believe that these numbers come out on a very regular basis, and they actually move the markets. Rick, what are some of your comments on the numbers that came out moving forward with these job numbers?
Well, I have to take these numbers every week with a grain of salt, a little bit of cynicism and a sense of humor. You know, I think that it's very hard to get at the true numbers, to track them as a statistic, but on a word-of-mouth basis, I know that friends of mine who are in various businesses are paddling just as hard as they can to stay afloat. You know, we're in a very difficult economy, and I don't hear any of my friends, whether they're, in some cases, one's a wine importer, real estate guys, retailers, restaurant owners, and they all seem to be struggling. So if we get this statistical picture of growing strength, It's pretty ridiculous. It doesn't square with what we see all around us. You know, as far as the actual numbers, it's interesting. I don't think that all of the Wall Street trade desk guys who respond to these numbers in some crazy way believe them themselves. You know, it's not a question of believing. And, of course, the obsession on the numbers is based not on unemployment per se or the creation of jobs. It's based on what the perception of those numbers are going to mean with respect to the Fed's inclination to either ease or not ease. And that's a pretty stupid thing to obsess over because they've already eased as much as they can. It's not like the banks, if they had more money to lend, could stimulate the economy. We see the effects of stimulus simply in the ways in which the stimulus has been enabled. It is a perfect conduit. It's a perfect catalyst, really, to stimulate the stock market, but little else. And that's what we're seeing. So the number comes out. And the guys on the trade desk are thinking, well, the numbers are bunk, but I know that the guys on Goldman's desk and Morgan Stanley's desk, they're all going to have to take that ostensible improvement in the unemployment picture, and they're going to have to run with it whether they believe it or not. So it's sort of a herd mentality, and it's not based on whether or not these numbers are believed. It's based on trading desks that think, well, the other guys are obligated to pretend that they believe them. And on the statistical side, this is something I'd like to John to comment on. We have this picture of job creation, but the labor participation rate, I believe, has just fallen most recently from a record low of 63.1% down to 62.8%. So that does obviously reflect more and more people who are either discouraged from trying to get back in the labor market, or as it seems also very likely, they have all the disincentives in the world to get back to work because unemployment benefits have been extended, and it's like, who's got to work anymore?
Rick, got to take a real quick break here. We're going to be back with John Williams and Rick Ackerman. We're going to have John comment on that right after the top of the hour.
For our upcoming appearance schedule, visit kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back in just a moment.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. If you'd like to listen to GCN programs on the go, I have great news. GCN has created a Droid and iPhone application, and it's free. Just as easy as going to GCNlive.com, click on the banner, and download. Before you know it, you'll be listening to your favorite hard-hitting GCN shows, live or on demand, right on your Droid or iPhone, 24/7 and on the go. So download the Droid and iPhone app free by clicking on the banner at GCNlive.com. Thanks again for listening to GCNlive.com. Again, that's GCNlive.com.
The people grow cotton, weave fabric, engrave ink, embed strips and fibers to protect from counterfeit, then carting to a private bank, having it led back at interest, forcing taxes to service debt. This capitalism, or was Jefferson correct when stating a central bank issuing the public currency is a greater menace to the liberties of the people than a standing army? Ted Anderson, I'm placing a free silver dollar in a book that explains our monetary system. Call for your copy, 800-686-2237. It's time to understand the system. Call 800-686-2237. That's 800-686-2237.
It's that time of year again, and you know what that means. Cold and flu season. But don't worry. HerbalHealer.com has you and your loved ones covered with our safe and natural products. Cold and flu fighters like beta-glucans, olive leaf antiviral capsules, grapefruit seed extract, HHA 4-herb capsules, elderberry power, and respirate. And don't forget about oregacillin for the lungs, normally $34.95, on sale now for only $25. Vitamin D3, 120-count soft gels, only $9. Whole body and homeopathic detoxes for the lungs, kidneys, liver, lymph, and brain. Normally $26.95, now just $20. HerbalHealer.com also offers correspondence courses to teach you how to handle your health naturally. And as always, new customers get a free 128-page catalog with your order. Visit HerbalHealer.com and click the Winter Specials button to save on our natural cold and flu-fighting products. HerbalHealer.com, healing the world with nature, one person at a time, since 1988.